Welcome everyone to this course today on power wheelchair driving methods. My name is Michelle Lang. I'm an occupational therapist in the Denver, Colorado area. I've been working in assistive technology for a long time, and one of the areas that I work in frequently and I really enjoy is working with power wheelchairs. Most of the clients that I work with personally are unable to ambulate or use any type of manual wheelchair. And many of the clients who require a power wheelchair that I work with are unable to use a standard joystick. And so it becomes very important to explore the variety of driving methods that are available to our clients to help bring independent mobility to a variety of those clients despite their muscle tone or paralysis or lack of muscle strength. There are specific driving methods available to meet their needs and provide that independent mobility. We want to begin with some disclosures here. I do present educational courses for a variety of different companies, but including Stealth Products. And Stealth Products does make a line of power wheelchair alternative driving methods. I frequently present on this topic in person and through webinars, and I receive an honorarium to do so. With that said, I do work with a variety of different driving methods from a variety of companies, and I will endeavor to present this equipment information as objectively as possible. As this course is a CEU course, we do have specific learning outcomes. And the goal is that at the end of this course, the participant will be able to list clinical indicators for mini proportional joysticks, describe clinical indicators for various joystick placement locations, list five different digital driving methods and clinical indicators for each, and compare and contrast some of the newly available head arrays. So what we will be covering in this course are wheelchair driving methods, and these are categorized into two main areas: proportional, sometimes referred to as analog, and non-proportional, sometimes referred to as digital. Proportional controls are primarily comprised of joysticks, though we do have a few other options that we'll explore. Joysticks are very familiar to most of us, and this is the most common way of driving a power wheelchair. This is certainly the way of driving a consumer-level power chair. Alternative driving methods other than a standard joystick typically require more complex electronics, sometimes referred to as expandable electronics, and these are available on a level of power wheelchairs called complex rehab power wheelchairs. Now, to use a joystick, this requires the driver to grade the force and distance of their movement. If I can't grade the force of my movement, and let's say I'm trying to grasp a styrofoam cup with some coffee in it, I might grab that too hard and crush it, or not grab it hard enough and drop it. If I can't grade the distance of my movement, I might undershoot or overshoot that coffee cup. Well, the same with driving with a joystick. For people who have abnormal muscle tone particularly, using a joystick is very difficult because in order to grade the force and distance of my movement, I have to balance the activity between the flexors and extensors in my body, and that's sometimes referred to as co-contraction. So typically a joystick is used by the hand. I need to balance the flexors and extensors in my arm and my hand, that entire upper extremity. And again, this is difficult for some of our clients to do. So there are clients out there who are able to move a power wheelchair with a joystick, but not necessarily where they want to go. We want to make sure our client has that volitional, efficient control. Now, sometimes a client could use a joystick if it was positioned in the best spot for them. So it's important to look at standard placement versus alternative placements, because sometimes the problem is actually that placement. Most joysticks are mounted at the end of the armrest, usually on the right side, because most people are right-handed. But this may not match the pattern of movement of the client. You know, I think sometimes we try to force the client to meet the parameters of the equipment rather than modifying the equipment to match the client's unique skill sets and abilities. So some clients, rather than pushing straight ahead to the side of their body parallel to that arm rest on here, that arm pad, that client may instead push their arm forward and across their body. In that case, we can move the joystick to capture that movement. This may require some sort of a midline mount in order to support the joystick in that position. We can also angle the joystick box itself so that it is matching the angle of movement of the client, both in terms of relationship to moving the arm straight forward rather than across the body, but also in terms of capturing movement at the forearm. Many clients, when they're pushing forward, tend to pronate their forearm a bit, and we can adjust the angle of the joystick box to accommodate this. Now, unfortunately, when we accommodate these movements by placing the joystick in a less than typical placement, in an asymmetrical placement, someone will come along and fix it for us, whether we want them to or not. So sometimes I literally will put a note on the joystick box saying it's crooked on purpose. And here's some of the examples of joystick mounts that are on the market. These all have some means of swinging out of the way for transfers because the joystick is now in front of the client's body. The joystick does not have to be right in midline. It can be anywhere along a continuum where it best captures someone's movement. Now, most of these are too difficult for the client to get the joystick out of the way independently. So the client has to depend upon somebody else to get the joystick out of their way. There is an option available from Motion Concepts, and in this particular power swing-away joystick, this would allow a client who would perhaps have the ability to independently transfer to go ahead and move the joystick out of their way independently by pushing a switch. It's a pretty brief video, so let's take a look at that again. I'll try to bring it back here. But again, by simply pushing a switch, the client can go ahead and move that joystick out of their way independently for transfers. And there it goes again. Now, we have a variety of alternative proportional controls on the market. Most of these are alternative joysticks. Let's start with the compact joystick. One of the advantages of going with some sort of compact joystick is that it is compact. It's smaller than a standard joystick. Standard joystick box can be rather large, and that can be difficult for clients who perhaps need a more midline placement, or clients of short stature, such as children. This particular compact joystick is from Adaptive Switch Labs, ASL, and it is called the Compact Joystick Single Switch because on the top of the joystick itself is a button, and that button, if it is depressed by the client, acts as a reset. Well, let's back off for a minute and talk a little bit about reset. Usually, when a power wheelchair is first turned on, it is in driving mode. So if the client moves that joystick or other driving method, the chair moves in response to that. But these complex rehab power chairs are capable of far more than allowing mobility. The client can also, through their driving method, control their position in space, for example, such as controlling a power tilt or other power seating functions. The client can change what speed they're driving in. The client can go into a mode in which they can use the driving method to operate an interfaced external assistive technology device, such as a speech-generating device, send infrared signals to control things in the environment, such as a television, or even emulate a mouse for computer or tablet control. So there's a tremendous amount that these power wheelchairs can do, but it requires the client to change the mode of operation of the chair from driving to something else. So that typically requires a reset switch, and that's why this is on the top of this joystick. So the client could be in driving mode, use the joystick to move around a room, push that button, and now when the client moves the joystick, they can tilt themselves in space, for example, to shift their weight. Some of the unique features of this particular compact joystick is that the top of this is textured, and that allows the client to grasp the joystick more readily, so they can not slip off of that surface. The top is also non-removable, so for a client who perhaps uses a great deal of force to grasp that joystick, they won't pull the handle right off the joystick. Now, keep in mind, if you have a client who's routinely grabbing that joystick handle and throwing it over their shoulder because of excessive force, a joystick may not be their best access method. They most likely don't have a lot of control. ASL also makes a version with two switches on the top of the joystick. These can be used for any feature because there's two switch jacks on the bottom of the joystick that are activated by these two buttons. A cable is plugged into either of these switch jacks and then can be attached to whatever you would like. So this can act as a reset. This can directly control a tilt or other seating function, control the power of the wheelchair itself, act as mouse clicks if the client is using mouse simulation, or send one or two switch signals directly to a speech-generating device. That's a SGD. Another compact joystick that's on the market is from a relatively newcomer to the market called Movis. Movis is available outside of this country and is now distributed by Stealth in the United States. This compact joystick has two switch jacks on it, and again, these can be sent to control a number of different features. This includes a unique mount on either side of the compact joystick that holds their own mechanical switch called a twister switch. These are very, very sensitive mechanical switches. You do not have to use those two twister switches, but it gives an option to attach two of these. The TUF joystick is a switch joystick, so it's not actually proportional at all. It provides control in 4 to 8 discrete directions. So unlike a proportional joystick where the joystick can be moved anywhere within a 360-degree circle, and the farther from center the joystick is deflected, the faster the power wheelchair will move, in the TUF joystick, the chair will move in forward, left, right, reverse. In 8-direction mode, we also have the diagonals available in between those 4 discrete directions. Now, why would we take away the proportional control? Well, in some proportional control joysticks, if the user exerts a significant amount of force, it will actually break the inside mechanism of the joystick. This is more heavy duty, which allows it to withstand these forces, but at the cost of losing the proportional control. Now keep in mind, if someone is using so much force to drive their joystick, to drive their chair using a joystick, that they're breaking that mechanism, chances are they're not driving with that good control. Chances are this person is not grading the force and distance of their movement. Most likely they're driving most of the time with the joystick fully deflected forward. And that means it's difficult to turn, to navigate the environment. So if you're considering this joystick, make sure that using a joystick is the best way for a client to utilize their chair. We then have this touchpad, and this is from Switch It, and it uses the same technology as your smartphone. So it has a touch screen and it works in 2 different modes. In absolute mode, the client needs to place a finger, typically or a thumb, in the center of the screen. The client can then move from that center point. The farther the finger is moved from center, the faster the chair will go. If the client can draw a little circle with their finger, that's where the chair will go. So this is designed to capture very light, very small movements, making it appropriate for someone with muscle weakness. Now, not all of our clients will readily find that center point. And so there's also a relative mode of operation where center is wherever you start, and you can keep dropping your finger down wherever you would like on this surface and move from there. You can see in this picture there's a little logo for Switch It at the bottom of the touchscreen. You can enable this to act as a mode or reset, again changing the mode of operation of the chair. If your client is going to accidentally run into this, well, that can be disabled so that you don't have to worry about that. And this is a mounting option for the touchpad. This is from Active Controls. They have a number of different mounts that all tend to place an access method in midline in front of the client, if that's the best spot for them. The display in this picture is mounted just above that. Mounting is a big deal when we're talking about alternative driving methods. Many of these we can't simply hand off to a client. We need to make sure that they're mounted and that the client has adequate postural support, support of whatever portion of their body they're using to activate the driving method. We next move into mini proportional joysticks. Mini proportional joysticks work just like a standard joystick in that we have 360 degrees of control in terms of direction, and we have speed control built in that the farther the joystick is deflected from center, the faster the chair moves. The difference is that these do not require the same degree of force and movement as standard joysticks. Standard joysticks often require up to 250 grams of pressure to activate and require a certain amount of travel, movement from center to achieve full speed. This particular mini joystick, the HMC, requires about 14 grams of force. So it's a fraction of what the standard joystick requires. Again, making this very useful for people with muscle weakness. The drawback of many of these mini proportional joysticks is they tend to be more fragile, and that can be a drawback for some of our clients. We don't want this to be broken. Again, mounting, very important. Someone who's using a mini proportional joystick with a finger or thumb, chances are, has muscle weakness. And that means that the forearm and sometimes even the hand need to be fully supported so that only the finger or discrete movement of the finger or thumb are required. This particular hand pad from Stealth is available for a variety of mini proportional joysticks on the market. What's nice about this is not only does it provide support for the hand, but it also protects the joystick somewhat from damage because, again, these are fragile. So if this gets bumped during a transfer or in the edge of a doorway, depending on the placement, the hand pad takes the hit rather than this very fragile joystick. Another nice option of this is we can change the height of the joystick. So depending on how someone is using their finger or thumb, this joystick handle can actually be flush or even a little recessed with the surface of the hand pad, or it can protrude above it, as in this picture, depending again on that individual's unique needs. This is the Micro Extremity Control, or MEC, mini proportional joystick, and this is made from Adaptive Switch Labs, ASL. It requires a very similar amount of force to the HMC. The main difference with this particular joystick, besides the fact that it's a little wider in presentation, is that if you push down on the top of the joystick, it acts as that reset. The client has to have the ability to do so, but it doesn't require a lot of force. And here's a mounting option for this one. So you can see in the picture on the left that it is sticking up quite a ways from the surface of the hand pad. This might work well for someone who rests on the pinky side of their hand on that hand pad and then uses their thumb from a higher position, as opposed to the picture on the right where someone might keep their hand flat on the surface of the hand pad and wiggle a thumb or finger. I like the picture of this on the left because it shows this mounted right to the end of a nice wide arm trough, or arm pad in this case. You could certainly use an arm trough, and that provides good support of the forearm and the hand. If the client doesn't have good control that far away from their body off to the side, you can certainly mount this more midline, again, just making sure we provide adequate forearm support for the client as well. Movis, besides that compact joystick that we saw, also offers a mini proportional, and this is called their micro joystick. This particular one only requires 10 grams of force. One of the unique things about the Movis line is that it has this little box that you see here. That box fulfills a couple functions. First of all, it has two switch jacks on it, one for power, one for mode or reset. It also has a micro USB port on it, and it allows a tablet to or computer to be connected for programming. There's some unique programming options that can be performed outside of the manufacturer's electronic system. You know, each of these power chairs has its own electronic system. So, for example, Invacare has the Mark 6i electronics. Quantum Rehab Chairs uses Q-Logic electronics. Permobile and Quickie, as well as the Rho-V power chairs, all use Arnet electronics. Each of these electronics packages offers specific programming that impacts how the chair drives and also program specifics in terms of how the alternative driving method works. This allows additional programming on top of the manufacturer's electronics that impact how this joystick works. Adaptive Switch Labs, we saw, had that micro extremity control, or MEC, that we saw a moment ago. This is their extremity control. It requires more pressure than the MEC. It is sealed so that it's moisture resistant. And one of the features of this is that you can choose that when the client pulls back on this extremity control joystick, that instead of going into reverse, this will activate a reset switch. How do you then activate reverse? Well, by pulling back and activating reset, the first function of reset can be programmed to toggle forward and reverse. So I pull back once, giving a reset command. Now when I pull back again, or I'm sorry, since it's toggling forward and reverse, now when I push forward, instead of going forward, I will go into reverse. Pull back on reset again. Now I'm back into forward. Now, part of the reason this is moisture resistant is that this degree of resistance is often appropriate for use at the chin. A lot of mini proportional joysticks tend to fall into the range of 10 or 15 grams of force. These work very well at the finger or thumb. Then we have others that have a slightly higher level of force, sometimes in the 50-gram range, and these often work well at the chin. Well, if we place a joystick at the chin, we sometimes have to deal with secretions. And for many electronics, moisture means equipment failure. So this is resistant to that moisture to help us deal with secretions, but also other moisture or even just dirt and grime that can lead to equipment failure. This is the MicroPilot, and it is from Switch It. One of the unique things about the MicroPilot is it's an isometric joystick. What's an isometric joystick? It relies on force instead of movement. So there's extremely little movement in this. So if the client pushes against this in a forward direction, that's the direction the chair will go, even if the joystick doesn't really move. It has an adjustable level of force from 10 to 50 grams, depending on your unique client's requirements. Now, when this first came out, I have to admit, I wondered, well, who would I use this for? What's the advantage of an isometric joystick, even though it's a cool idea? Well, I think personally there's a couple applications where this can be very helpful. Mini joysticks are often positioned by the chin. We do have some clients that have control of a joystick in this location. Clients using a joystick at the chin will either use cervical movement or jaw movement to activate the joystick. One of the challenges of these repetitive small movements is preventing repetitive stress injuries of either the jaw or the neck. To reduce the risk, we can either reduce the amount of movement, repetition of movement, or the force. By using a mini proportional joystick, we're reducing force. One of the challenges of using a joystick at the chin, however, is if the level surface that the client is driving on is not smooth linoleum, there's a little bit of jarring that occurs. And as the client is perhaps bounced around a little bit within their seating system, that can result in extraneous movement of the chair as the chin is bouncing around on a mini joystick. Well, since this isometric joystick doesn't actually move around, it responds to force, there might be less extraneous movement when someone's using this joystick by their chin. Another advantage is this can be mounted parallel to the floor. So I'm actually going to skip ahead two slides here, and then we'll go back. You can see in this lower slide that the MicroPilot has been mounted parallel to the floor. Now, with most mini joysticks, this won't work because gravity will pull the joystick downward and the chair might start driving on its own accord. The advantage of mounting this parallel to the floor is some of our clients have better control with their fingers in a flexed position. So now the client can control the joystick in this position if that's where they have best control and not worry about the effects of gravity because this is isometric. Pictured here on the upper picture, in that circle is a fiber optic switch, and right below and to the right of that circle is the top of the MicroPilot. In this case, the client could drive with the MicroPilot and then move a finger over, covering that fiber optic switch to act as a reset. A fiber optic switch doesn't require any force. And then going back, this is showing a variety of different mounting methods. The lower center picture is a harness that's supporting the MicroPilot to be used as a chin joystick. And the picture on the lower right is one of those hand pads again. The MicroPilot doesn't move around in that U. That U shape allows you to choose the best position for the MicroPilot and secure it in that location. Switch It also makes a non-isometric joystick, and this is the micro guide, and it requires about 25 grams of force. Now, iDrive is a new line of access methods from Stealth Products. And one of the unique things about this entire iDrive line is that it will work on any power wheelchair electronics package. Most of the access methods we're looking at today do that. But like the Movis line, can also be programmed on its own directly, either through an iDrive software package on a computer or the iDrive app on a tablet. So in addition to the programming parameters available on that individual power wheelchair electronics package, which again varies by manufacturer, we have additional programming parameters that can be done through the iDrive software. And this is their mini proportional joystick. It is sealed to keep out moisture, dirt, grime, and they have various style handles and mounting options. on the picture here on the left, you can see underneath the hand pad, there's a box. And that box is basically a mini CPU, and that's what we attach to make this programming occur. And you can see in the center picture, this attached on the top of the hand pad with one of the available handles for this joystick, and then on the right on a swing away mount. Now, if we are to position a joystick at somebody's chin, for example, or if a client is using Sip and Puff for driving, which is placed at the mouth, any control that is by the mouth, or even if we wanted to provide hydration for the client, perhaps having the straw of a Camelback by someone's mouth, this is all possible to mount in a variety of ways. However, the client might be kind of stuck with this access method or hydration by their mouth at all times. There are some power swing away options that allow the client by pressing a switch to get this out of the way so that if I've driven up, let's say, to my work table, my work desk, I can push a switch, move my joystick out of the way until it's time to drive again. Movis has a power swing away mount that you can see pictured here. And Motion Concepts also has a power swing away mount, and we're going to watch a quick video of that here. The client, again, has to be able to push a switch. That switch not attached, of course, to the power mount, or it would move out of the way. And the mount will lower, swing to the side. And then when the client pushes a switch again, the mount will rise and return to position in front of the client. And again, this can be used for a variety of access methods, including even hydration, just allowing the client to get this out of the way. The Movis system has a few more programmable options to allow the client to determine how far they want this to move to the side. Sometimes moving quite a distance from the side can be a challenge because there might be obstacles there in the way. Continuing to look at the variety of mini proportional joysticks that we have available to us, this is the Adaptive Switch Labs Micro Mini Joystick. It's very small, and it is, like the MicroPilot, an isometric joystick. Now, if you remember, in older-style laptop computers, there was a little bud, a little, looked like a eraser top, in the middle of the keyboard, and that controlled the mouse. This uses that same technology. It can be mounted in a variety of ways. You can see a hand pad here, and there's also a very interesting ring mount. So this could literally be worn like a ring, say around an index finger, and a client could then use their thumb to move this joystick and, as a result, move the power wheelchair. So what are the clinical indicators for mini proportional joysticks? Well, these, as compared to a standard joystick, require a smaller travel distance, and that can be helpful for people with muscle weakness, and require minimal force to move the joystick and to sustain the joystick in that forward position to continue movement of the chair. A drawback of mini proportional joysticks is they can be fragile and certainly can be very difficult for anyone else but the client to operate. And so ideally, if funding's available and there's an attendant who needs to use this chair at times to help the client, if the client's fatigued or is in a very difficult-to-drive situation, the client really requires an attendant, or the caregiver requires an attendant joystick. And the MEC, in particular, includes a reset by pushing downward. Now, we've been mentioning that these mini proportional joysticks can be placed by a finger or thumb. These can also be placed by the chin. If this is placed on the chin, it needs to be mounted either on a swing-away arm, a bib, or a harness. We'll see some examples of those in a moment. Remember that use of a chin joystick can lead to repetitive stress injuries of the jaw or cervical area, and that's important that we reduce that risk. Sometimes a mini proportional joystick can reduce that risk because we're reducing the amount of force and travel as compared to a compact joystick. Compact joysticks, although they are smaller, do still require the same amount of force and distance as a standard joystick. But these mini joysticks are so sensitive that it can be difficult, really, with any joystick, but particularly a mini one, to drive if that surface isn't very smooth. And here's some examples of some of the mounting options that we have. So to the left is a collar, and in the middle, a harness or bib. The advantage of collars and bibs is that these stay in relation to the client. So if the client is moving in relation to the seating system at all, like driving over unsmooth surfaces, the joystick will be more likely to stay in alignment with the client's chin. As opposed to a swing-away bar, pictured in the upper right, where the client can move in relation to the joystick. Many clients prefer the swing-away bar. It can be moved out of the way, and now I'm not stuck with this joystick right in front of me at all times, because if it's mealtime, someone's going to have to remove that harness or bib. Now, both Adaptive Switch Labs, ASL, and Switch It have adapted a game control, and this is very, very cool. So if you're thinking of a standard old video game controller, you can't just plug that into a power chair, but both of these companies have modified it so those little mini joysticks that are already built into this controller can now be used to drive the chair. These controllers also have quite an array of buttons on them. Those buttons can be programmed to operate almost anything. So one of the buttons, for example, could control power to the power wheelchair or act as a mode or reset switch. A button can be programmed to control a power seat function. The challenge is these buttons cannot be assigned in the field. You can't just program what the various functions will be of this game control. So you need to let the manufacturer know ahead of time what you want those mini joysticks to do. So for example, if one mini joystick will control all movement of the chair, or perhaps one mini joystick controls forward and reverse, and another mini joystick controls left and right, and what you want those buttons to do when the client presses them. This works really well for clients with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Many of those clients have difficulty using a standard joystick over time. The joystick is just too far away and requires too much force. This game control, however, can be held close into the body in midline, and that's where a lot of those boys have better control. And the joysticks do not require nearly as much force, about 40 or 50 grams. This is the mushroom joystick, and it's designed for clients who can't grasp a standard joystick handle. Now, there's a lot of different handles that are available out there, but for a variety of reasons, some clients cannot grasp all of these. This is designed so that the palm can rest on this dome. The challenge is, as this is a standard joystick, it's rather stiff. It takes a fair amount of force, again about 250 grams to move this, and that dome is very smooth, and so sometimes clients slide off of it. Another alternative is pictured here on the lower left from BodyPoint. BodyPoint actually makes a fair amount of joystick handles, and one of them is this dome handle. Unlike the surface, the smooth surface of the mushroom joystick from Stealth, this has a texture to it so that clients are less likely to slip off of it, and it's available for a variety of joysticks that are on the market. Again, for a standard joystick, this would not work on a miniature joystick. Now, earlier we discussed the compact joystick. It's a small joystick, but it does require the same amount of force and travel as a standard joystick. This compact joystick is made by just about all of our power wheelchair manufacturers and can be used to interface with other controls. And this is an example of that. This is a foot control, and it's available from three manufacturers, Adaptive Switch Labs, Switch It, and HMC. HMC is now owned and distributed by Permobil, though it is available to be used on other manufacturers' chairs as well. In this case, that compact joystick is attached to some sort of a platform which is placed under the foot. Typically, you're going to need to strap the foot down for this to work. And you can see on the Switch It one here that it's attached to a shoe holder with straps. When the client pushes their toes towards the floor, the chair moves forward. When the toes are moved towards the ceiling, the chair goes into reverse. And when the foot is pivoted either to the left or the right, the chair moves in that corresponding direction. This is a proportional control, meaning that as much as the client can move their foot within a 360-degree circle, that's where the chair will move, rather than distinct directions such as forward, left, right, reverse. Also, the farther the client pushes their toes up or down, the faster the chair will go. This works for a client who does not have good control, perhaps of their upper extremities, but does have some isolated control of the foot. I have worked with a few clients over the years who used a foot very well, but were not necessarily able to use this particular platform because maybe this wasn't the exact pattern of movement that they used. In that case, you can still mount a joystick near the foot, and the client can use whatever pattern of movement works best for them. That same compact joystick can be attached to this proportional arm control. This is available from Switch It. In this case, the forearm rests in this arm trough. By letting the hand drop down towards the floor, that moves the chair forward. By lifting the hand towards the ceiling, that moves the chair into reverse, and by turning the arm to either side, more midline and away from midline, that turns the chair left and right. This works similarly to a mobile arm support. So if you are working with a client who would benefit from mobile arm supports, who perhaps doesn't have a lot of shoulder strength but has some bicep and tricep action, they may be able to use this particular access method. Another proportional control is the proportional head control. It also uses a compact joystick. Several companies make these, and when the client pushes their head rearward, the chair moves forward. When the client turns their head side to side, the chair turns in that direction. There's different strategies for accessing reverse. Usually a reset switch is activated, and you can see in several of these pictures there's a switch pictured and is designed for this feature. When the client activates that switch, forward and reverse are toggled. So now when the client brings their head rearward, the chair will move into reverse. The proportional head control, when it first was available on the market, was quite popular with clients who had fair head control, fair to good head control, but not very good control of their extremities. But there was a problem with this. For clients particularly who have abnormal muscle tone, this sustained pressure against the rear pad that was required to keep the chair moving forward was quite difficult, and led to further increases in muscle tone and difficulty stopping as a result. So there were clients who were able to drive with this, but over time, if having to drive a longer distance, would have difficulty with release and crash into things. Many of those clients instead moved over to another technology called the head array, a non-proportional access method that we'll be discussing in a little bit. Another proportional control is this, called the Magitek. Magitek is a sensor which is mounted to the top of the head, and it translates head movement into movement of the wheelchair. It requires not just fair to good head control, but very good head control. So this is designed for someone who does not have good control of their extremities, but does have very good head control, and is an option for often people with a higher level spinal cord injury, for example, as opposed to using sip and puff. To stop the wheelchair, the client has to enter a neutral zone. Their neutral zone is an invisible circle at the top of the head. So if the client moves their head forward enough to leave that neutral zone, the chair is going to move in the direction of movement of the head. The farther the head moves away from center, the faster the chair goes. Now, if that neutral zone is quite small, it's easy to drive the chair, but hard to stop. The client really has to know where that upright position is. If the neutral zone is overly large, the client has to drive with more exaggerated head movement. There's a couple newer features that are available on Magitek in the last few years. First is something called the emergency stop switch port, so that if the client got into trouble somehow driving with this, someone, either the client or caregiver, could push this stop switch and it would shut down the system. Another new feature is called overrate. This shuts the system down if a sudden amount of movement occurs to the sensor. And this an example of this would be if the sensor was to fall off someone's head. So if for some reason that sensor went flying, we don't want the chair to keep driving, and the client would not have the ability to stop in that point because they couldn't return to neutral. So overrate shuts the system down with sudden movement, and the amount of movement required is programmable. Overrange is a feature that's used if the client moves too far from center and stays there. So let's say the client has a seizure, for example, and falls to their side. If they don't quickly return back to neutral, the chair will stop so that the client will be safe. I mentioned earlier that there's a variety of joystick handles that are available out there. Some people prefer using a larger handle, say a larger ball, to help break up tone for clients. Usually I find personally that if we're looking at lots and lots of different handles, however, that chances are the joystick might just be too difficult for this client to use. One alternative handle that I often use is the goalpost style that you can see pictured in the upper right here. It's designed primarily for people who do have control to drive with the joystick but do not have good grasp, and this is often used with someone who has, say, a C5, C6 spinal cord injury. This is a rather unique handle from ASL. It's called their joystick extension fifth switch. You can see that it's a T-shaped handle, and at the end of the handle is a little red mechanical switch. This switch simply sends a signal out through a cable that can be used to operate reset, power, a mouse click, tilt, whatever the client desires. So that was a look at many of the various proportional driving methods that are out there, from standard joysticks to miniature joysticks to other alternative proportional controls. Again, the advantage of proportional control is that we have, depending on the client's skill set, full directional control as well as speed control. But not everyone can use a proportional driving method, even an alternative one. And then we need to explore non-proportional or digital driving methods. These non-proportional driving methods all, in essence, use a switch. We can use mechanical switches, electrical switches, or a combination of those. So let's dive in and see what these options are. Here are a whole host of available non-proportional or digital driving methods, and we'll look through each of these and discuss why we would use these with individual clients. What are the clinical indicators? It's possible to drive a power wheelchair with any combination of 1 to 5 switches. Now, ideally, when I'm working with a client, I'm trying to find at least 3 switch sites on their body. And if I can, those switch sites are going to be used for forward, left, and right directional control. What about reverse? Well, for a new driver, I'm not real concerned with reverse right off the bat. These new power wheelchair bases are very maneuverable, and a client can do quite a bit of driving without reverse. Many of our clients can't see behind them to back up. So I may not offer reverse immediately, allowing a client to learn how to rely on forward, left, and right. And by the time we add in reverse as a feature, the client hopefully will only use this to get themselves out of a tight spot and then rely on those other directional switches. If I can find a 4th switch, we can either make that reverse or reset. Again, using reset to allow the driver to access reverse as well as a host of other features. If I can find 5 switches on this client's body, I may choose to give them a separate reverse and reset switch. But usually, for clients who have other needs besides driving, I'm looking for 4 switch sites, and I will choose reset for that 4th switch. But what if we can't find 3 or 4 switch sites on this client's body? What do we do? Can the client still drive? Well, it's possible to drive a chair with only 1 switch, and that requires switch scanning. We'll look at that in just a moment. But there are a couple strategies out there as well for clients who can only use 2 switches to still access full directional control as well as reset. So, single switch scanning. Let's say that in your assessment of a client, you can only find 1 switch that this client can use. Or perhaps 2 switches. Sometimes single switch scanning can be appropriate if there's only 2 switches as well. Sometimes that second switch is used as a reset. The client needs to be able to see and monitor a display. This might be displayed either on the display of the power wheelchair itself or on an external display such as the one shown here from Adaptive Switch Labs. In this external display, there is a component that sits usually behind the client on the chair, and that's the one with the red buttons. And this allows a caregiver to use the switches as well. The piece that the client actually looks at is pictured just below that. There's some small white arrows that you see and then some lights. So the client would push a switch and a scan would begin. Forward, right, reverse, left. Once the desired direction is highlighted, the client would then push the switch again and hold it down, sustain contact with the switch for as long as they wanted to move in that direction. So let's say I wanted to go down a hallway. I would press my switch once and release to start the scan. I would wait until forward was highlighted, hit and hold my switch as long as I wanted to continue forward movement down the hallway. If my chair hit a bump and I veered off course a little bit, I'd have to release my switch, let the scan resume, choose a direction, and attempt to correct my course. This can be a very tedious way of driving from point A to point B, but it does provide independent driving for clients who only have 1 to 2 switch sites. On this external scanner, Adaptive Switch Labs has a few other options. You can turn on some auditory feedback to help the client. It's just a simple beep. It does not actually tell them which direction is being highlighted at the time. And they have some other modifications to help when someone is controlling an interfaced communication device or may need a larger display. Programming is very important with many of these access methods. So, you can program a scanner to scan a certain amount of directions. If only four directions are scanned, that's forward, left, right, reverse. If eight directions are scanned, then this is those diagonals in between our four primary directions. We can change the pattern of the scan. So, for example, forward, left, and right may be scanned twice as frequently as reverse, because people don't tend to reverse as often as they move in these other directions. We can choose whether mode is scanned, allowing someone to activate that reset switch to change the mode of operation of the chair. And again, this is available as an external scanner or on the display. There are a lot of programming options for each of these access methods to better customize use to an individual client. ASL has recently come up with this single switch scanner with dual switch step scan. That's a mouthful. Even though it has the term single switch scanner in it, it does require two switches. In this case, rather than pressing one switch to begin a scan, we can have the first switch move through the directions and a second switch select the required or desired direction. Why would we do this? Well, for some clients, that automatic scan where I hit a switch and it automatically scans through options can cause some anticipation and anxiety in the client. And sometimes that negatively impacts their ability to hit the switch when they want to. By using two switches, the first switch is activated repeatedly until the desired direction is highlighted, and then the second switch is hit and held for the duration of time the client wants to move in that selected direction. The drawback of using two switches is that the client has to hit a switch much more frequently. That might be difficult for some of our clients as well. QLogic, which is available on Quantum Rehab Power Wheelchairs, which are made by Pride Mobility, has this option for two-switch control. So imagine these two switches that we have pictured here could be any two switches that the client can use, placed in any location on their body where they have control. If the first switch is pressed again, and held down, the chair will move in a forward direction. If that switch is only activated one time and held down, the chair will move to the left. If that switch is pressed twice quickly and then released, it acts as a mode or reset activation. Then, if the second switch, let's say this little blue switch, is pushed once, twice, held down, the chair will move into reverse. If the switch is activated once only and held down, the chair will turn to the right. It's a little confusing. So, we have only two switches required, and we have full directional control, forward, left, right, reverse, as well as access to reset. That's great. The drawback is the client has to have the ability to use these switches in a way where they hit the switch momentarily, where they hit the switch in a sustained fashion, and where even a quick double click is required for reset. That's a very specific requirement set in terms of motor skills that the client may or may not have. So this is something like most of these access methods where you really want to try this out on a power chair with a client, not simply guess if this might meet their needs. Another option that provides two-switch control is through the iDrive electronics from Stealth. On their programming, they have an option called Link. It links two switches and allows them to act like three. One of the unique things about this feature is that you can combine mechanical and electrical switches. This is a big deal because most of these options we will look at only allow us to use mechanical switches or electrical switches and not combine them simultaneously. So this allows us to combine those. So picture to the left, we have an AbleNet Jelly Bean switch. It is a mechanical switch. Pictured to the right is a proximity switch, which is an electrical switch. We'll talk about proximity switches more here in just a little bit. Now, this is how Link works. If both switches are activated at the same time, it moves the chair forward. If the client only activates the left switch, the chair turns to the left. If the client only activates the right switch, the chair turns to the right. If you release the switches and come back down on them, you can activate reverse. Reset can be activated with a quick double click if the client's able to use that, or if the client can activate a third switch, this can be used as reset. To me, this is a little more intuitive than the QLogic system for two-switch access. Now, as I mentioned before, I'm looking for at least three switch sites if I can find them. It's possible to drive with only one or two switches, but it can be challenging. I want to have three to four switches if possible. As I'm hunting for these switch sites, I'm looking for a location on my client's body where they have good control, where hopefully we have a small movement, as small a movement as possible, not some really large movement that takes a lot of time and effort. I don't want that movement to be driven by a pattern of movement that we might see in people with increased muscle tone. I don't want that movement to be driven by reflexive activity, such as an asymmetrical tonic neck reflex. We want this to be an isolated movement, a volitional movement for which the client has good control. As I'm hunting down these switch sites, I want the strongest switch site to be forward, because clients have to activate forward more than the other directions most of the time. If I can find four switch sites, I will make the weakest switch site reset, because reset doesn't require the same timing as the driving switches do. It also does not require sustained contact that the driving switches do. If I'm going to just simply combine some mechanical switches, I need some sort of switch interface box to plug them into. Adaptive Switch Labs and Stealth both have one of these that we can plug in a variety of switches to try driving out with our client. We then grab individual switches or a switch array and connect them to the chair. A switch array, such as the one pictured on the lower left, this is a proximity array from Adaptive Switch Labs, includes all the driving switches in one prearranged setup, as opposed to grabbing some individual switches and plugging them into an interface box. Let's look at a case study that hopefully will clarify this. This is Landon, and he is using three switches on his tray. Landon had a joystick on his own power wheelchair, but he was having difficulty driving with it. And we were trying to determine if he was having difficulty either because of motor limitations or because of understanding. So we took the joystick off, and we placed on three switches, because by using three switches, the task was now a little more concrete for a rather young boy. The middle switch moved him forward, the left switch turned the chair towards the left, and the right switch turned the chair towards the right. This was more concrete for him than a more abstract 360 degrees of control that the joystick provides. This allowed us to analyze the task a little better, and we did determine that actually Landon did understand the task. He simply needed to use switches rather than the joystick. Even though he could move the wheelchair with the joystick, he couldn't quite get it in the exact direction that he wanted to. This is Faith, and Faith and Landon both have cerebral palsy. Faith had a power wheelchair when I met her already, and the power wheelchair came with a joystick, and Faith could move the chair, but really not anywhere near to where she wanted to go, and this was a problem for her. We wanted her to have volitional control. Well, someone else saw Faith and then tried the head array. We'll look at the head array in more detail in just a moment. But Faith had difficulty with the head array as well, because she needed to stabilize against the headrest with her head to provide isolated control elsewhere in her body. Besides having cerebral palsy, Faith has a movement disorder called athetosis, and people with athetosis are often looking for and needing stability. Each person with athetosis may find that stability at a different place in their body, but it allows them to free up control somewhere else. Faith needed to stabilize with her head. But this did free up control in other locations for her. She was able to pull back with her left arm and activate a switch. You can see in that circle there, it was a jelly bean switch. Then, in the lower right picture, to turn left, Faith was able to squeeze her hand, and we put an AbleNet spec switch on a strap base in her hand because her arm was not always in the same position, and she needed the switch to come along for the ride with her, to stay in relation with her hand. And by strapping it into her hand, this worked well for her, and she would squeeze her hand to make a left turn. At the time of the evaluation, she was able to adduct her left hip and activate a switch placed medial to her left knee for right turns. You can see that she has more control over the left side of her body. By the time the new chair arrived, Faith had decided that she would like to use a switch in the right hand that she squeezed for right turns, so we put another AbleNet spec switch in her right hand, and she did very well. And in this picture, this is Faith in her chair. She has taken it to school. This is actually the very first time she drove it, and she drove with remarkable control. And I'd love to share a video of her driving with you, but unfortunately we did not have adequate photo releases to do so. But she drove quite well. You might notice in this picture there's some hardware placed just in front of her knees. That's actually a power communication device mount that we had on her chair. So it's possible to combine a variety of individual switches to meet an individual client's needs. But there are a number of switch arrays that are on the market as well. And so we're going to look at some of those, starting with a sip and puff. Now, sip and puff has been around for a long time. And I do hear some people say, well, that's kind of old school now, and I don't really use Sip and Puff. But it might be old school. It's still a very efficient access method for many clients that we see. This works well for clients who do not have good control of their head or their extremities, but do have good oral motor control, specifically good lip closure and an intact soft palate. That's required to maintain pressure within the mouth. You see, Sip and Puff isn't activated by breath control. Many people who use Sip and Puff are on a ventilator and do not have that breath control. But it's controlled by managing the air pressure within the mouth. If the client can puff out their cheeks or suck them in like you're sucking in a thick milkshake, you should be able to use Sip and Puff. And this straw at the mouth provides full directional control and speed control. Here you can see are a variety of ways Sip and Puff can be mounted. Again, mounting is a very important part of providing these alternative driving methods. Sip and Puff is traditionally controlled using four discrete pressures. And the Sip and Puff mechanism reads these pressures and translates these into specific movement of the chair. A hard puff, increasing pressure within the mouth, results in forward movement. A soft puff turns the chair to the right. A hard sip, reducing pressure in the mouth, like sucking your cheeks in, moves the chair into reverse. And a soft sip turns the chair to the left. Now, it's too difficult in using Sip and Puff to sustain a hard puff to go any distance, like down a hallway, and so we typically use latch. By providing one initial hard puff, the chair is placed in the latch and continues movement until the chair receives a different command, usually a hard sip, and that stops the chair. Speed can be controlled in a number of different ways. This varies by the manufacturer's electronics package and their specific programming parameters. But a common strategy is once the chair is in latch, if the client continues to execute hard puffs, the speed will ramp up or in steps or in a smooth trajectory, increasing the speed for the client. iDrive has a sip and puff control that uses these four pneumatic commands as well. The pressures for each command is programmed on the iDrive software. One of the advantages of doing this is traditionally when we program these four discrete pneumatic commands, we do so on a little programmer in front of the client, and it's not always easy to see or very motivating. These pressures, when they're programming, being programmed through the iDrive software, can be programmed on a tablet or a computer that's held in front of the client, and this can provide better feedback, and there's plans in place to make a more motivating way of doing this. So, for example, a child may see a picture of a birthday cake and try to blow out a certain amount of candles. This can be a really effective way of programming and teaching use of sip and puff. One of the unique features on the iDrive as well is the ability to access proportional speed. So the sip and puff control on iDrive consists of two different stages. At least this is an option available to the client. In stage one, as the client slowly executes a puff, the softer the puff is, the slower the chair will move forward. Usually, soft puff would turn the chair to the right. But in stage one, this provides proportional speed, allowing the client to creep up, let's say, to a table. Then the client would move into step two, where we would have more traditional four pressure control. QLogic, again available on the Quantum Rehab chairs, has another feature called two pressure that's available. And with two pressure, any two puffs moves the chair forward, any single puff moves the chair to the right, any two sips moves the chair into reverse, and one sip into left. Now the client does not need to discriminate between those hard and soft pneumatic commands. Instead, the client has to simply remember how many puffs or sips to execute. So this is similar to the two switch control we saw earlier. I just find it a little more intuitive than the other two switch control. There's also a programming available called command time or sampling delay. Sampling delay is available on QLogic. This allows for a delay before the pneumatic command is accepted. So let's say a client wants to go forward. Well, that requires a hard puff. The client, on their way to executing a hard puff, the chair may read a soft puff and turn to the right before going forward. And this can be really frustrating for a client. I've had this happen with some of the clients that I work with. So instead, this provides a slight delay, giving the client time to build up that pressure so that when the chair reacts, when the chair responds to that pressure, it only goes forward rather than turning to the right. So it just delays recognition of that pneumatic command, allowing time to build pressure. Now, people who use sip and puff often have little movement, little to no movement of their head. And if that straw gets away from the client, moves forward, the client probably can't retrieve it. This can put the client in an unsafe situation if the chair is in latch. So in this case, both ASL and SwitchIt offer a fiber optic switch which sees the client's lower lip or chin. And if the straw moves out of range of the client where they can no longer keep it in or right at their mouth, the chair will automatically stop. So it acts as a kill switch or stop switch. It can also be used intentionally as a reset switch. The client can open their mouth wide, triggering this switch, and now when they put that straw back in their mouth to execute those sips or puffs, it can be used as a reset switch. So the client can be driving, stop, open their mouth, trigger that reset switch, close their mouth on the straw, and now control something else like their power recline. This stop switch can be very important for safety reasons. We use this with two clients that we worked with here in the Denver area, Travis and Jessica. When Travis was in latch, he was driving through his living room and hit a bump in the carpet. The straw moved away from his mouth, and his chair went through a sliding glass door before his mom could stop the chair. Now, he was okay. His chair was okay. His sliding glass door was not okay, and this is a time where we need that stop switch. And that moves us up into the head array. The head array is typically a tri-pad headrest, as pictured here, that has 3 to 5 proximity switches in it. These are capacitive switches. The client merely needs to move within proximity of the switch to activate it. It's not activated by the upholstery or other materials of the head array itself, the headrest. This works well for clients with little extremity control, but fair to good head control. Now, it used to be that there was really only one head array on the market. It was available from Adaptive Switch Labs and had been used literally for decades. But in recent years, we now have a variety of head arrays that are available to us. I should mention that how this head array works is you bring your head rearward to contacting the rear pad. That moves the chair forward, and you can touch either the side pads to turn to either side. If the client can keep their head in contact with the rear pad while they touch a side pad, they can get more of a diagonal movement. This is the new Atom head array from ASL. And you can see there's a small box attached to the rear of the head pad, and this allows for some additional features. One of those features is the client can turn the head array on or off by pressing any external switch. Now, the client could certainly turn the entire chair on and off, but let's say the client has approached a work surface and just wants to rest for a while and doesn't care to turn off the entire chair. They have the option of turning off the head array so that now they can use the headrest to rest their head. There are some other options that allow the Atom to be used to send a wireless signal to an external assistive technology device, such as a speech generating device. The main advantage of this is traditionally to do this, some additional electronics would be required. Those electronics are pretty expensive. So by using the Atom, it bypasses the need for those additional interfacing components. There's some programming that's available to change the timing required for a double tap on one of these switches, usually the left switch, to activate a reset. Some of that programming is available on RNET and QLogic itself as well. And there's an option to turn on auditory feedback when a directional switch is activated, so there's a beep. One drawback of electronic switches, like the proximity switch, is that they're quiet as compared to a mechanical switch where you might hear a discrete click. So this provides a beep to let the client know they've hit that switch, they've activated the switch, and the switch feedback can be turned off because it probably will drive the client nuts in a short amount of time. Permobile has come out with their Total Control head array system, and one of the unique parts of this head array is that you can combine electrical and mechanical switches if that best meets the client's needs. And as I mentioned earlier, this is something that has been very difficult to do up till recently, but it is something we can do on the Permobile head array. Another unique feature of their head array is that you can place 2 proximity switches in the rear pad. So if the client is trying to maintain contact with the rear pad and activate a directional switch to get that diagonal movement, they're less likely to lose contact with a single proximity in the rear pad. So these two pads are designed to facilitate those diagonal movements. Now, this is from Stealth. It is one of their head supports in which proximity switches can be placed. The main reason I'm showing this picture here is that many head arrays on the market, especially until recently, consist of that tri-pad headrest, where the only adjustment we have is a hinge between the rear pad and the side pads. In this style, we have much more adjustability. These side pads have a ball and socket sort of joint, so that I can move them in a very precise location to capture my client's movements. Also, this particular headrest has a suboccipital pad. That's that horseshoe-shaped piece that goes at the base of the skull. That provides more stability. So instead of a client hovering between these three switches around their head, they can rest against the suboccipital pad and pivot off of it to activate the switches in each of the three primary pads. That additional stability can really improve or even enable the ability of a client to use a head array successfully. Stealth's iDrive line includes a head array as well. Like the Permobile head array, this allows a combination of proximity and mechanical switches to be used, or simply mechanical switches can be used. Each switch is assigned using the iDrive software on a tablet or a computer. And there's some additional programming available as well, such as programming how the client activates that reset or mode switch. This can be used with a wide variety of their head supports to meet an individual's needs. Pictured on the left here is their eye-to-eye head support. It's a very unique head support, and you can use this in combination with their head array. On the right is showing their iDrive software on a tablet. This does not remain mounted to the back of the chair. It's just a picture here to show how that works. So again, separate programming on top of the power wheelchair electronics. And one thing that's really exciting is they have an app pending as a remote stop that can be used really with any of the iDrive products so that a caregiver can whip out their tablet or smartphone and stop the chair remotely if the client gets into a potentially dangerous situation. Let's say the client wasn't paying attention for a moment. This is important because even though remote stops are available as a separate hardware item right now on these electronic packages, they're often very difficult to get funded. They also have an attendant control app pending as well. SwitchIt has the Dual Pro. And the Dual Pro here is another head array that allows us to choose either a proportional method of activation or a switch-controlled method of operation or combine the two. So how does proportional control work on a head array? Well, if the client exerts a slightly increased amount of force, it will speed up the movement of the chair. So it's important to keep this in mind. It does provide some limited speed control for a client. However, if a client was to use an excessive amount of force, they might move faster than they want to. In that case, you could change this to a more traditional switch control. By using both, the client might have a slower start or some speed control initially, and then it will act as a more traditional switch-based head array. And this is one of the clients that I work with, Taylor, using his head array during an evaluation. Those same proximity switches can be used outside of the head array, and typically these are placed underneath a tray. Now, as these are a capacitive switch and are activated by really our body's capacity to conduct electricity, these can be placed not only underneath foam and upholstery in a head array, but underneath a tray. Well, why would we do this as opposed to putting switches on top of a tray? Well, if we were to put, say, some mechanical switches on top of a tray, the client has to lift up and over those switches. And that vertical movement can be very difficult for folks, especially folks who have increased tone. These are placed under the tray, and now the client only has to slide their hand over that location. Oftentimes, I'll put some type of a tactile cue on top of the tray to let the client know where the switch might be. I'm not a big fan of using stickers on top of a tray because I don't want a client to look down at the tray to see that cute Dora the Explorer sticker. I want them to see where they're driving. So instead, by using that tactile cue, the client can feel the area where the switch is while they maintain visual regard of their environment. This works well for clients who have at least fair upper extremity control. These proximity switches can accommodate a larger movement. And again, by placing them within the tray, we're eliminating a plane of movement. Now, I do like placing these in a clear tray if I can. That helps the client to have a better visual field as they're driving. Some people like to put these in a solid tray. A couple of these trays pictured here are hollow inside and can accommodate these switches and then have a cover to protect the cabling. These particular trays are available from ASL on the left and Stealth Products on the right. Now, we saw the Magitek system earlier where the client would wear a sensor on top of their head. Magitek also has a proximity array that places proximity switches to the medial and lateral knees. There are some clients with ALS who have some decent control at their legs. Oftentimes, a bulbar form of ALS. We can see some control at the legs for a period of time, and this can work well for that population. And that moves us into fiber optic switches. Fiber optic switches, like proximity switches, are an electronic switch. They do not require any force. The client just needs to approach the switch. How these work is there are two cables that attach to each terminal of the switch. A fiber optic beam of light is emitted on one of those cables, and when it sees something like a finger or a thumb, it's reflected back on the second cable, and that activates the switch. These are designed to capture a smaller movement than a proximity switch and work really well for people with muscle weakness. The cables are very fragile, and these, like other access methods, need to be well mounted. So in this picture on the left, these are mounted underneath a tray, and you can see that someone can move their finger over each location for forward, left, right, and either reverse or reset. These can be mounted either on the surface of the tray or on the side of the tray. We'll see a picture of that here in just a second. You can also mount them within an arm trough. Here these are pictured on the side of a tray as some clients have better control with their fingers flexed over the edge of that tray and can flex a finger towards the fiber optic switch. ASL has a version of this as well as using the link function on the Stealth iDrive system where if the client can cover two of these beams together, it will move the chair forward. Cover only the left switch, and it will move the chair to the left side. Cover the right for right directional control. If the client can reach a third switch, this can be used as a reset. This allows a tremendous amount of control of the chair for a very, very small amount of movement to either side of these switches. And here are just some other mounting options. Obviously, mounting is a big deal with something like fiber optic switches. This hand pad has little mini goosenecks in it, and these hold the fiber optic switches so they can be moved directly where a client needs that control. The iDrive system has a really nice feature called tuning, where you can choose the activation distance, how close the client needs to be to the switch to activate it, by simply pushing a button when the client is in the desired location. And this is much easier than a more tedious way of adjusting other systems. So let's look at a quick case study here. This is Fareed, and he is 8 years old and has spinal muscular atrophy type 1. As such, he has profound muscle weakness. Fareed was able to drive with a combination of fiber optic and proximity switches to capture his very small movements and very limited amount of force, as these electrical switches do not require that force. He was able to drive with a fiber optic switch under his right index finger for forward, a fiber optic switch under his left index finger for left, and proximity switches placed by his medial knees for right and reset. And you can see these pictured here. We made a custom arm trough for him to hold this fiber optic switch. He does have better control with his fingers in this flexed position over the edge of the arm trough, and he pulls that finger back just ever so slightly to activate the switch under each index finger, and then adducts his hips slightly to activate proximity switches mounted, those are those yellow switches, mounted by his medial knees. There's a few combination systems that are available on the market. The analog digital drive system combines a joystick and a head array. So forward and reverse are controlled on the joystick and left and right controlled on the head array. This was a custom setup that worked for a specific client who had these movements. Many of these companies will work with you to best match your individual client's needs. More commonly combined are a head array and sip and puff. Any puff is forward, any sip is reverse, and left and right are controlled on the head array. Obviously, the client needs to have some movement of their head, but perhaps doesn't have enough control to use that rear pad. And the same client may have difficulty discriminating those hard and soft puffs, and this way can combine the two for best control. And this is a custom setup that allowed us to combine mechanical and electronic switches for Julian, who also has spinal muscular atrophy. At the time, this required some custom electronics from Adaptive Switch Labs and Invacare, because combining mechanical and electronic switches was not something we could readily do. Today, we could do this using the iDrive system, for example. But here we've combined a fiber optic switch by his left thumb for forward, a microlight, which is a mechanical switch, by his right medial knee for right turns, and proximity switches at either side of his head for left and for reset. And this allowed Julian independent control of his driving, of reverse, of his power tilt, and even his speeds. Now, there is one system available that utilizes eye gaze, and it's called RollTalk. It's made in Sweden, and it also, in addition to providing driving, is also a communication device and can control devices in the environment. So it is a package system that is fairly expensive. It's primarily designed for clients who have ALS. It's distributed by Adaptive Switch Labs, but to the best of my knowledge, is not yet available for distribution in the United States. That could happen here in the future. So as you can see, there's quite a variety of alternative driving methods that are available, and this allows our clients who are ready to use a power chair but have significant motor limitations to have a variety of options to meet their specific needs. I encourage you to try each of these methods out for yourself, to arrange for demonstrations where you can hop in a chair and try driving with these methods. It would be very, very difficult for you to teach someone else how to drive a car if you weren't a driver yourself. By trying each of these driving methods out, you'll have a better sense of how to evaluate a client for this access method and train them how to use it. I want to thank you for your attention to this course here today. I do hope it was helpful to you. And I want to provide my contact information to you, so if you have further questions, you may contact me by email. You can also look at some of the resources that are available on my website, including one of the handouts that you had for this session here today. Thanks, everyone.